Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu, our God and God of our fathers, we invoke your blessing upon all of us. May you continue to guide us in the way that we should go. How may we approach you? With sincerity, honesty, and humility. How can we redeem our lives from vanity and give it worth? By seeking holiness through kindness and love. We know that faithfulness to you helps to give meaning to our labors and purpose to our lives. She whom we honor this evening has followed this path. Just as she has ever sought to transmit our heritage from generation to generation, so may she ever go from strength to even greater strength. We ask for your blessing upon her. We ask for your blessing upon the leaders of this temple. May their strength continually be renewed so that their ideals, their goals, and their dedication might lead them to do all those tasks that need to be done. We are conscious of all that lies ahead. We ask for your blessing to help us in the future, and we thank you for the blessings that you have already bestowed upon us. Amen.
Good evening, and welcome to the 127th annual meeting of the Temple. The first portion of the program tonight will be devoted to a relatively brief business meeting to be followed by the main festivities of the evening. To start the business meeting, I would like to review some of the highlights of the past year and discuss some of the things that will be happening in the near future. This has been a year of important accomplishments, some significant changes, and broader participation by the congregation in temple life. One of our major successes this year was the coping series of six lectures dealing with various aspects of the Jewish response to death and dying. Natalie Dworkin and Norman Clivens very capably headed the committee which conceived and executed this very worthwhile series of programs. Coping received excellent response not only from our own members, but throughout the community. It was so successful that we are planning another coping series for this coming fall, which will deal with another widespread problem of modern life, aging. Hopefully, that is a problem that we shall all have to face at one time or another, some of us sooner, some of us later. The First Friday series has had one of its most successful years under the excellent leadership of Natalie Epstein and Tom Mann. This year was highlighted by such outstanding programs as David Bar-Ilan, Professor George Wald, and Jacques Brel. Attractions like these are very costly and cannot be paid from the operating budget of the temple. We have been fortunate to receive two major financial grants to help support First Friday. I want to take this opportunity to point out that sponsorship of First Friday programs by individuals, foundations, or philanthropic funds is a very appropriate way to honor a loved one or mark a milestone occasion. Anyone who would like further information on this should call Rabbi Silver or me. An important project, of which very few temple members are aware, was completed this year. This was the formulation of a new pension plan for our temple staff. The new pension plan incorporates the latest thinking in the pension field and brings our plan into substantial conformity with federal pension laws. It has also enabled us to put our pension funding on a sound actuarial basis. To accomplish this, we have had to substantially increase our annual contribution to the pension fund. Bernard Goodman chaired the pension committee, which labored hard for a year to formulate the new plan. Temple members David Cass and Ronald Kahn, both professional pension consultants, rendered invaluable volunteer service on the pension committee. This year saw a change in our music with the return of David Gooding as director of music. It was a year of transition and some experimentation in our music program. The quality of performance was high, and the new music written by David for our Sunday morning service was very well received. The reactivated music committee, under the experienced leadership of Martha Joseph, had a very busy year. The committee worked closely with David Gooding in the formulation of policy for our music program. An important change for next year will be the transformation of our Sunday morning choir into a largely congregational choir made up of volunteers with a nucleus of professional soloists and section leaders. This will give many of our Temple members who have vocal talent an opportunity to participate in our music program on a regular basis. It should result in some very interesting and beautiful music next year. Those who wish to audition for the choir should contact David Gooding through the Temple office. I'm very pleased to tell you that we have had an outstanding membership year this year. A total of 74 new families have joined the Temple this year. This is a 30% increase over last year. It is the largest number of new members we have received in many years. Our membership committee is led by Donald Farkas and Robert Kendis, and it played an important role in establishing this fine record. There are also a number of other factors which are important in influencing young families to join the Temple in ever-growing numbers. Our excellent religious school, an active Mr. and Mrs. Club, the generally high quality of our other programs, and the warmth and friendliness of our three rabbis. Our summer membership campaign is now underway. The membership committee needs your help in providing names of prospective members to be contacted. Within a few days, you will receive a letter from the Temple with a reply card asking for names of membership prospects. Please return it promptly to the Temple if you know of any families who are unaffiliated with a congregation and that you would care to recommend as members of the Temple. During the past year, a small and seldom used portion of our parking lot at the main Temple was sold to our neighbor, the Cleveland Society for the Blind, and the Temple received approximately $42,000 for this land. This money was applied to reduce the branch mortgage. We also received additional income from our parking lot at the main Temple by starting a rental arrangement with Mount Sinai Hospital and our neighbor, the Banks Baldwin Publishing Company. Both of these institutions had been using our parking lot for some time on a rent-free basis prior to this year. This additional income was important to us and helped us to operate this year without a dues increase in spite of the severe inflation, which is still rampant within the economy. Charles Evans headed the committee which negotiated the parking lot sale and rental arrangements. He had the professional expertise of Peter Galvin and Harold Friedman, both of whom rendered valuable service to the Temple in this matter. Miriam Lycan's retirement as librarian will leave a void that will be very hard to fill. I and others will have a great deal more to say about Miriam during the latter half of this program. However, I do want to tell you that a search committee has been hard at work to choose a new librarian, a successor to Miriam. This committee, also chaired by Charles Evans, interviewed several well-qualified applicants, and considered many others. The committee's choice is Janet Goldberg, an extremely able and likable young lady from Chicago. Janet has just received her master's degrees from the University of Wisconsin in library science as well as Judaic studies, a good combination for a temple librarian, I would think. She has an excellent Jewish background, and we know that she will maintain the high standards of our library and archives that Miriam has established over many years. Janet Goldberg will be starting here in about 10 days, and we look forward to having her with us. As I look back on a busy and productive temple year, I realize that the hard work and talent of many people helped to make our successes. Time does not permit me to mention all of them, but I cannot close without naming a few. Rabbi Silver continues to give strong and effective leadership to the congregation in every area of its activities. He is observing the 25th anniversary of his ordination this month, and he was honored 2 days ago with an honorary doctorate degree by Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati. Our congratulations go to him on this occasion. Rabbi Stuart Geller and Rabbi Stephen Klein have continued to grow in professional ability, in their service to the congregation, and in the esteem in which our members hold them. Leo Bamberger has given us the loyal and dedicated work that we have come to expect of him over many, many years. I am very grateful for his help this year. Our temple and religious school staffs have performed with very high competence and skill. I also want to acknowledge the excellent work done by our temple officers, the leadership of the Women's Association, the Men's Club, and the Mr. and Mrs. Club, the Usher Corps, and our other committees. They have all helped to make this year a very successful and a memorable one. In closing, I want to say that I appreciate your support of the temple. It has again been an honor to serve this year as your president. Thank you. At this time, I would like to call to the podium Bernard Goodman, our temple treasurer and chairman of a number of committees during the past year. Bernie has served with distinction and has been a tremendous a tower of strength to the temple. Bernie, it's yours.
Thank you, Jim. That was just the way I wrote it. I'm pleased to be able to report to you that the current fiscal year, which is being completed at the end of June, resulted in a balanced budget for the temple, which is the seventh consecutive year of balanced income and expenses. This is due in no small measure to the careful planning and the careful work of all of the temple staff in keeping expenses to a minimum. We have been hard at work in planning for next year's budget, and there have been a series of meetings extending over a six-week period, once a week, 8 o'clock in the morning, with members of the temple staff reviewing carefully their proposals for next year. It appears that there will be a slight increase in the amount of the budget next year due to inflationary factors, which will be recommended to the Board of Trustees of the temple at their next meeting. This budget has already been approved by the Budget Committee and the Finance Committee. That was the good news. In line with our efforts to keep the budget on a balanced basis, the Finance Committee will be recommending to the Temple Board a slight increase in dues in order to accommodate the inflationary trends, which necessitate a slight increase in the budget. This has been the fourth straight year in which there have been no dues increase at all, and it is hoped that the board will approve this in order to maintain the policy of a balanced budget for the temple. I wish to report to you now on the results of the current status of our temple mortgage on this building. As you know, there was a mortgage redemption drive approximately 2 years ago, at which time the mortgage balance was $1,250,000. Since that time, due to the fine efforts of all of you, the mortgage has been paid down to an approximate balance now in the area of $300,000, which is a fine and remarkable achievement and a tribute to everybody. We anticipate that if the balance of the mortgage redemption pledges are paid in accordance with the commitment that everybody has made, that the mortgage should be paid off in about 2 years, which is right on the schedule that was originally established at the time that the mortgage redemption drive was started. I haven't given you any detailed financial numbers and information because they're usually pretty boring anyhow. But if anybody wishes to have any detailed information, financial statements or the like, just feel free to call me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bernie. Next on the agenda, I would like to call Norman Clivens, one of our Temple vice presidents and former chairman of the Temple Finance Committee, to give us a brief report on the Temple Foundation Fund. Norman.
Your Temple has always been very fortunate in its leadership over the years and for their contributions to our long-term needs. And a good example of this far-sighted leadership was the organization and the maintenance of a Temple Foundation Fund, which many of you are not aware of. And thanks to the efforts of men like Leo Newmark, Norm Sugarman, and others, such a fund was created in the early 1960s and has been a major aid to the Temple in maintaining a sound financial structure. You should know that we now have approximately $360,000 in the Foundation Fund. Contributions continue to come in from members as a result of bequests or gifts. And this fund, which sounds like a large amount of money, is not considered ample, however, for our future needs. Now, over the last 10 years, we've been preoccupied with the building of this new branch, the related pledges and assessments, and the more recent mortgage redemption campaign. And our members have been very generous to the Temple. However, in the last 10 years, we have not added substantially to the Temple Foundation funds. We now believe it quite necessary and appropriate to make another effort to increase our foundation funds to provide for more security for the Temple for the next decade and possibly the next 2 decades of its future. Now, what have we done? First of all, we're beginning to involve attorneys, accountants, insurance men, and other men who are professionally involved in providing endowment fund activity among their clients and among their friends and associates. Another thing we can do is that all of us should begin rethinking about the Temple for bequests, gifts, dedications, or charitable trusts. I realize full well that many other institutions, such as the Welfare Federation and universities and other worthwhile institutions, have already made great demands on you for foundation fund support. But we ask you to also think of the Temple in this area. And if you should be interested in providing some assistance to the foundation fund, you may call upon James Rich, our president, you may call upon Leo Bamber, our secretary, and of course, you may call upon me. And if you have any questions concerning the foundation fund, I too will be available after the meeting and can answer them on a personal basis. Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to call Elizabeth Faub, the chairman of our Temple Nominating Committee, to the podium to give the report of the Nominating Committee.
In accordance with the provisions of the Constitution and bylaws, 12 members are to be elected to the Board of Trustees of the Temple for a term of 3 years. After careful consideration, your nominating committee submits for your approval the following nominees to fill these offices: Edward Dworkin, Bernard Goodman, Alvin Gray, David Cass, Richard Kitchler, Martin Lewis, Richard Margolis, Rita Perlman, James Rich, Clementine Reitman, Michael Schumann, and Sanford Sugarman. To represent the Temple Women's Association on the Temple Board of Trustees for a term of 1 year, the following nominees have been recommended by the Temple Women's Association: Bernice Gans, Elaine Schifrin, and Minda Ween. To represent the Temple Men's Club on the Board of Trustees for a term of 1 year, the following three nominees have been recommended by the Temple Men's Club: Sanford Kohlberg, Harold Lewis, and Alvin Udelson. To represent the Temple Mr. and Mrs. Club for a term of 1 year, the following two nominees have been recommended: Mark Levin and Gerald Strom. To represent the Temple Religious School Board on the Board of Trustees for a term of 1 year, the following nominee has been recommended: James Kendis. In accordance with the provisions of the Constitution and bylaws, the nominating committee submits for your approval the following nominees as officers of the Temple: President James Rich, Vice Presidents Charles Evans, Norman Clivens, Claire Shaw, Treasurer Bernard Goodman, Associate Treasurer Alan Kendis. Submitted by the nominating committee: Joanne Berman, Myron Eckstein, Max Eisner, Peter Galvin, Bernard Goodman, Michael Rocker, Elizabeth Vaub, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Do we have a motion to accept the report of the nominating committee? Thank you. Second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You're a good group. On behalf of myself, as well as my fellow officers, I do want to express appreciation to the congregation and the nominating committee for the confidence they've expressed in us to re-elect us for another term as your officers for the coming year. I can assure you that we will serve with our usual zeal and at no increase in salary. I also want to take this opportunity to express appreciation to those board members whose terms on the board have expired and who will be leaving the board with this last meeting. They are as follows: Donald Berkew, Leo Dempsey, Judith Goodman, Frank Joseph Jr., Richard Kyman, Thomas Mann, Stanley Meisel, Leonard Schwartz, and Ernest Siegler. I also want to express appreciation for those board members whose one-year terms have expired, and those would be Helen Kangesser, Jeanette Pevroff, William Katz, Harvey Sachs, and Dr. Dennis Brooks. We appreciate their service on the Temple Board and expect that they will remain active within the Temple. At this time, I would like to call to the podium Marilyn Beadall, who will give us a brief report on a very important coming event. Marilyn?
It is my privilege to announce the Temple, through its Temple Women's Association, has undertaken the sponsorship of a Mesquite showcase. We hope, at the conclusion of this exciting event, to be able to give to the temple an amount sufficient to begin construction on a badly needed kitchen here at the branch. Thank you. The Mesquite collection consists of a wide variety of Israeli arts and crafts, ranging from fashions to paintings and lithographs to handcrafted jewelry and silver sculpture to gift items and magnificent one-of-a-kind rugs. Ruth Diane, who will fly to Cleveland to be with us to promote this event, has put the Mesquite Showcase together, representing the finest creations of a selected group of Israeli artists and craftsmen. Bringing the show to Cleveland is a real feather in the cap of our temple. We need you, all of you, as benefactors, patrons, attendees, and workers. Patron tickets for the special Saturday night preview party at $100 per couple, most of it deductible, are available tonight in the lobby after this meeting. General admission tickets at $2 each or $10 for a book of six will go on sale in July. There will be two Mesquite prizes given every day in a stub drawing and a gift to the two individuals who sell the most tickets. And any one of you are welcome to sell tickets. Sign-up cards for those of you who wish to participate are also available at the end of this meeting. Please, as devoted members of our temple, the Temple Women's Association and the temple, we need you.
Thank you, Marilyn. That concludes the business portion of our meeting this evening, and now the fun will begin. Edith Garver and her temple players have prepared a very fine musical skit in honor of Miriam this evening, and I'd like to call them to the podium at this time for their presentation. If you'll relax for a couple of minutes while they get the stage in order, I'll be right with you.
Yeah. Quiet. Quiet. I'm happy to see that so many of you have come tonight to Story Hour in the library, and it's nice to see so many happy faces. What kind of a story would you like to hear? Perhaps a legend would be nice. I think it would be grand, and we'll see if we can find one. Here's one right here. It is a fine story about someone who became a legend. It is called Miriam the Librarian. The characters in our story are Marjorie Davidson, Michael Goldstein, Mina Culber, Alan Zeilinger, and Maxine Cohn. Once upon a time, many years ago, there was a young woman, and her name was Miriam. She was just out of college. She had a great love for books and for all scholarly things. As fate would have it, young Miriam came to the temple to seek her fortune. She applied for the job as librarian.
My name, sir, is Miriam. I'm a librarian who may be lacking in age. Though fresh out of college, I'm loaded with knowledge. I know every book page like this.
Miriam's credentials were so good, and she made such a fine impression, that of course she was hired as the temple librarian. And just as she said, she was conscientious, loyal, and true. And she knew every book from cover to cover.
And so she was hired and she came here to work. And she took to her task and she did not shirk. We soon found out it was Miss Calhoun. Administer the needs of our religious school.
Administer the needs of our religious school.
Administer the needs so carefully that it spread the reputation of our library. Administer the needs so carefully that it spread the reputation of our library. She tagged every book and then she did compile a very useful and efficient file. She labeled all the shelves and she typed up the cards and she cataloged the prophets and the ancient bards. She cataloged the prophets and the ancient bards. She cataloged the prophets so skillfully that it glorified the image of our library. She cataloged the prophets so skillfully that it glorified the image of our library. Her interest took a lively twist. And soon she was known as a philatelist. So no one then would be surprised that a stamp club soon was to be organized.
A stamp club soon was to be organized.
She soon enjoyed such a popularity that it stamped its mark upon the library. It soon enjoyed such a popularity that it stamped its mark upon the library. In all other work she has taken such a pride that her fame was acknowledged far and wide. We heard it said and we think that it's true. She's consulted on the literature in Timbuktu. I have books in Timbuktu. It's crystal clear and we all can agree that Miriam's the flower of the library. It's crystal clear and we all can agree that Miriam's the flower of the library.
Little Miriam established such a fine library at the temple that it soon became the outstanding one of its kind in the country. But our heroine did not just sit among the shelves and shuffle her library cards. She became an integral part of every facet of temple life, important to the rabbis, the students, Leo, everyone. Even the superintendents would consult Miriam on such subjects as where to buy bigger and better snowplows. Yes, our Miriam was all things to all people.
Found him mighty quick, a book to
years past, Miriam, our heroine, achieved great success and was widely acclaimed in her field. All well and good, but enough is enough already, she said. She was still in her prime and had many more things yet to accomplish. Miriam decided it was time for a change. She decided to get out from behind the shelves, take all her money, and fulfill some of her ambitions. What lies in the future for Miriam? We shall tell you.
The future for Miriam, we can see clearly, it is fulfilling her wish. With all of her assets and so many facets, she won't know just which niche is which. No need for a rocker, no allies to hock her.
Legend of Miriam the Librarian, except to tell you, they all lived happily ever after.
I think you'll have to admit we give great bargains here at the Temple Branch. That was at least a $5 show. Thank you. Rabbi Leon Foyer and I share the distinction this year of observing our 50th anniversary of the year in which we both began our careers in the temple. I entered the temple kindergarten class of 1927, and he came to the temple that same year as our first assistant rabbi. I went on to a relatively undistinguished academic career in the temple religious school. My teachers never suspected that they had in their midst a future temple president. And so they didn't accord me the deference that you would normally expect a future macher to receive. In short, I was never voted the student most likely to succeed. Rabbi Foyer, on the other hand, went on to a distinguished career as assistant rabbi to Dr. Rabbi Hillel Silver. He evidently learned much during his 8 years here, and he certainly made many friends. Some of these friendships have lasted to this day. In 1935, he left Cleveland to become rabbi of the Collingwood Avenue Temple in Toledo, where he served for 40 years. His distinguished career in the rabbinate included a term as president of the Central Conference of American Rabbis. Rabbi Foyer has always remained part of our temple family in spirit, if not in body. And it is a great pleasure to welcome him and Mrs. Foyer back to this family gathering this evening. Rabbi Foyer.
Of course, you do not expect me to compete with the last number or even with the president of the congregation. I really don't remember him as a student in the kindergarten. Members of my first and very beloved congregation, for me, this is a pleasant and an exciting homecoming. How pleasant and how exciting, most of you are too young to know. The late Dr. Silver prepared me for the rabbinate almost precisely this week. I came back to Cleveland to assume my duties as Dr. Silver's first assistant rabbi. In those days, assistant rabbis were a scarce species. There were perhaps a dozen or more of us throughout the country. And if you will permit me for a moment or two, I should like to construct for you or reconstruct a brief scenario of that time, and it is relevant to the subject for which we are gathered this evening. It was an era, we thought, of prosperity and affluence would never end. It was, of course, the period of the pre-stock market crash of 1929. And few of us suspected that we were on the eve of our country's worst depression. And when it struck 1 year later, 2 years later, luckily for me, and for the rest of us who were working at the temple was still paying salaries. So you see that being on a sound financial basis is nothing new in the history of this congregation. How it was managed, I still do not know, especially during that period when the banks were closed. Virginia was a recent bride. Rabbi Daniel, were you born yet, Daniel? Shocked me last year when I saw the announcement of the 20th anniversary of his leadership of this congregation as his father's successor, and I am proud to say the most eminent rabbi of his generation. When I came here, Dr. Silver told me one of my chief jobs was to, among other duties, to supervise the religious school. I was to take charge of a school of some 1,200 children and a faculty of 65 teachers, all of whom knew more about education, Jewish education, than I did, and how I ever mustered the nerve to tackle that job, I still cannot guess. And then in the early 30s, Miriam Likand came to the temple as our librarian. She richly deserves the honor of these festivities. She came to work at the Ansel Road Temple, which had been constructed and dedicated just a few years previously. I remember her as an outwardly shy, retiring young lady, but inwardly, grimly determined to do the job, and do it she did. Rabbi Silver, who was an ardently devoted lover and collector of books, had resolved that a great and functionally useful Jewish library should be established in our congregation, developed for the use of the congregation and especially of its religious school. And that job has been done. I remember after being accustomed, even in those early years, to the library which was growing at the Ansel Road Temple, I remember how shocked I was when I came to Toledo and saw what a pitiful collection of books passed for a temple library. That situation, I am happy to say, has now been corrected. Over the years, Miriam has dedicated her life to her task with the rarest kind of devotion and a profound love for Judaism and Jewish literature, which he was able to transmit to all who came into contact with her. She brought to her work a thorough knowledge of library science, an unlimited desire and capacity for doing the job. It's no exaggeration to say that job has become ever more important in the life of every synagogue and every Jewish community. And Miriam can be proud of the fact tonight that she has been a truly creative pioneer in the field of Jewish library science, an area the significance of which in those days was just dawning upon synagogues and communities. I know from my own brief experience of working with her during the few years we were together at the temple how completely invaluable was her assistance to me, to the staff, and especially to the children, whom she deeply loved. And my personal gratitude, and I'm very happy to acknowledge it publicly, goes beyond this. For over the years, she has put at my disposal her tremendous knowledge and ability at research for a number of projects, literary projects, in which over the years I've been interested. And she did so always promptly, cheerfully, and efficiently. And I have always been glad publicly to acknowledge that assistance. Miriam, you have richly earned your retirement, though knowing you, I know it will be a very active retirement. You have earned the gratitude of this congregation, this great congregation, the testimonial with which you have been honored this morning and this evening. I have been delighted to have been a part of this. I'm deeply grateful to my friend and colleague, Rabbi Daniel Silver, for affording me the opportunity to participate. Miriam, you can look back with tremendous pride upon 45 years during which you have made a real contribution to this congregation, to the Jewish community of America, a contribution in the supremely important areas of Jewish knowledge, Jewish education. Through you, literally thousands of adults, young people and children have learned to read about and to love their heritage. And I know that you, the members of this congregation, will join with me in a prayer to our gracious Father in heaven that he will grant Miriam many, many years of life and health, contentment, and the opportunity to enjoy the rewards she has so richly merited. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi Foyer. I'm sure that we all wish that same prayer for you and Mrs. Foyer. At this time, I would like to invite Mrs. Geraldine Powers, who is president of the Jewish Librarians Association of Cleveland, to the podium. Mrs. Powers is the librarian of Beth Am Synagogue here in Cleveland, and she has a presentation to make to Miriam on behalf of the Jewish Librarians Association.
Dear friends, as president of the Jewish Library Association of Greater Cleveland, it is my special privilege to present the following document, drawn up and dedicated in recognition of a true Renaissance woman. Will Miriam Lykin please step up here? We present this to you with much affection and appreciation. It reads as follows. In recognition and appreciation of her creativity and outstanding service as 1. Mentor, guide, and consultant to Jewish librarians in Greater Cleveland and other communities. 2, organizer and founding president of the Jewish Library Association of Greater Cleveland. 3, prime organizer in the founding of the National Association of Jewish Libraries. 4, initiator of the much needed and highly acclaimed Index to Jewish Periodicals. 5, trailblazer in establishing new directions in Jewish library science. We hereby honor her outstanding contributions to the community and to Jewish learning on the occasion of her retirement as librarian of the Temple Tiferet Israel. Signed, Geraldine Powers, President, Claudia Fechter, Vice President, on this day of June 5th, 1977. Miriam, we wish you well.
Thank you. Just spelled wrong here.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Much of Miriam's work over the past 45 years has been with our school children in the Temple Religious School. And here tonight are two representatives of the Temple Religious School who have a presentation they wish to make to Miriam as well. They are Eaton Foxman and Eric Whitman of our Temple Religious School. Boys, you're on.
We are sorry to see you leave because we are sure there will never be a better librarian than you in the history of the temple. You have dedicated 45 years of your life to the temple. We will miss you very much. We present to you this booklet as small token of appreciation. This booklet contains letters showing appreciation towards you from the temple. It contains letters sent to you by the students from the congregation.
Thank you. I'm going to spend a lot of time reading all these. Thank you, Eric.
No annual meeting would be complete without a word, or maybe even several words, from Rabbi Silver. So I would like to call him to the podium at this time.
Miriam, friends, I searched for an appropriate presentation to make to Miriam this evening, but hunt as I could in my own library, I couldn't find an overdue book. But I do think I have the largest collection of please return slips ever issued in the history of the temple. You know, there are a number of wry stories told about Moses and the Exodus, having to do with the fact that if he turned anyway but north and east, he would have found oil and, you know, everybody would have been better off. Actually, Moses turned to the only direction which made it possible for us to be here. because he turned the tribes towards Canaan. And the Canaanites, several centuries before, had become the first people in the history of the world to invent an alphabet, to invent the flexible means by which the genius of Jewish creativity could, in fact, be set down and come down through posterity to which we could relate. Oh, there were all kinds of pictographs and hieroglyphs in cultures preceding the Canaanite culture. But all these word forms, these writing forms, had inherent limitations. It required the flexibility of the alphabet to be able to express the nuances, the tenses, the shadings, and the subtleties, as well as the very strong theology and faith and prophetic sense of social concern, which gave our people, which our people created and which has given to our people its unique stamp. From the very beginning, we have been a people whose survival has depended upon the inheritance by each subsequent generation of the intellectual and creative legacy of those who have been before. And as always in our past, this legacy was tended by three different groups. The original thinkers, those who produced it, the scribes, those who set it down, and the librarians, those who preserved it and made it available. In biblical times, the writers were not always people who could write. Jeremiah, one of the most creative of our thinkers, a great prophet, of course, had his personal scribe, Baruch. The scribal skill was a very complicated one. And so there first were the men with the ideas, and then the men with the stylus and the pen. And finally, the people, men mostly in those early days, who preserved and made available. The first Jewish librarian I know of is spoken of in a second century Alexandrian Jewish book of history by a man named Artaphanes, who tells us, among other things, that in the community of Alexandria, a community which may have numbered 200,000 or 300,000 Jews at the time, there was a Jewish library, as well as a large non-Jewish library. And he speaks of the person who was in control of it, presumably a cataloger and a researcher. They had scrolls, of course, rather than books, and the scrolls were kept in bins rather than on shelves. And we know from the excavations at the Dead Sea, where the Yahad people, the sectarians, lived during the first century of our era, that in their scriptorium, in their writing center, there was found a list, a catalog, a very primitive catalog of the books which were available to them. There have been Jewish librarians, in other words, for over 2,000 years. And they've been a tremendously significant part of the survival agenda of Jewish life. Miriam is part of a very old profession, but she also represents something very new in it. Rabbi Feuer spoke of Miriam as a pioneer, and she is that. She is, as far as I know, the original, the first full-time professional Jewish librarian in America in a synagogue setting. 45 years ago, when she came to the temple, there was no such person. There were occasional volunteers who might come in of a weekday to see that whatever books had been donated to a temple were somehow dusted and shelved. But the idea of a professionally chosen and selected collection, the idea of a person who was responsible to catalog and to organize, the idea that that person might also explore ways in which the library could be more fully used, so it wasn't simply a repository, it was something very active and very positive. None of this existed. And Miriam has had to feel her way and find her way and make her way. And it's for that reason I'm sure that she has been such an important figure in her professional associations as one of the founding people of professional Jewish librarians, synagogue librarians in our city and Jewish librarians generally. Our librarians in earlier times were at the yeshivot. Some of them were hired by wealthy men who had extensive collections. But Miriam is the first of what is now, thank God, a wonderful breed of professionals who work within the structures of our congregations and who see to it that our literature does not remain a dead letter
but is part of the life, the wharf and the roof of our school, and the lives of the adults. And of course, we who have served as rabbis of the temple owe a very special personal thanks to Miriam. She has kept us in line. I've joked about it at the beginning, but rabbis do have a terrible habit of, you know, taking whatever books they want. We're somehow in the synagogue above the law, and, you know, just putting them into our own shelves and assuming that nobody else wants these books. But more than that, she has helped us in our research. She has gone down to the White Collection, to the university, and found things that we needed, saved us a great deal of time. And in over all the years, Dr. Silver was here, and since I've been here, she has been a research assistant, unpaid, and I'm not so sure sufficiently thanked. And for all of that, I want to thank her on behalf of myself and my father and all the men who have served in the rabbinate of the temple. And Miriam, I tried to think of something that our family could give to you, because you have been so associated with all of us over these years. A few years ago, you began to put together the Abahillo Silver archives, the record of Dr. Silver's work. And I thought it might be most appropriate if my family were to present to you, if I were to present to you, a letter from this archives as a reminder of all of this work and all that you've done. A handwritten letter, which was sent in October of 1938 by Justice Louis Brandeis of our Supreme Court to Dr. Silver on some Zionist matters. It is not a typewritten letter. It's a very lovely handwritten letter from Justice Brandeis, written just 3 years before he died in 1941. And I thought it might be something that you would cherish, and certainly it's given to you with all of our love.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
You want me to stand here?
Or may I sit
down?
You can stand
here. You scare me.
I have a few goodies here for Miriam, too. We have a very ample storage shelf underneath the podium here, which is loaded. And I also have a framed resolution to present. This is a resolution that was adopted by the Temple Board of Trustees at its last meeting, and it reads as follows. In appreciation, whereas Miriam Likand has served as librarian of the Temple for 45 years and has, over all these years, devoted her exceptional talents to our congregational family, whereas under her leadership, the Temple Library has offered significant service to our community and become a model for congregational collections throughout the country. Whereas she has, through her energies, gained recognition for the profession of congregational librarian by founding and serving as president of the Jewish Librarians Association, and by initiating and editing the Index to Jewish Periodicals. Whereas she has welcomed thousands of non-Jewish visitors to the temple, guided them through our building and helped them to appreciate our tradition. Whereas she has served as curator of the Temple Museum, cataloged and maintained our collection, and arranged traveling exhibits to local schools and libraries. Whereas she has worked closely with our school and been close to our children who have listened to her stories, been guided by her in their reading, and been encouraged by her to love the printed word. Whereas she has become friend to all of us and helped us to be conscious of our profound literary and artistic heritage. Be it resolved that the temple officially expresses its gratitude and devotion to her, and to that end, now elects Miriam Likand as an honorary life member of the congregation, and further designates her as
Librarian Emeritus of the Temple, adopted by the Temple Board of Trustees at Cleveland, Ohio, May 10, 1977. And Miriam, it's official because Rabbi Silver has signed it, as well as myself.
Thank you.
This may come as news to many of you, but in 45 years, Miriam has never been an official member of the Temple, and we thought it was time that we made her one. Miriam, we wanted to give your many hundreds of friends in the congregation an opportunity to express their thoughts to you individually. And we felt that the best way to do that was to ask them to write you letters telling you exactly what was in their hearts. And we've collected these letters in this very beautiful volume. This was put together with love and great care by Mina Culber. The cover is made up of book wrappers, book jackets of many Jewish volumes. And I understand that there is just about 200 different letters and notes of all kinds in here for you. So you should have some reading material for the foreseeable future.
Thank you.
This is the smallest thing we have for you this evening. We hope you'll like it just the same. It's a gift from the Temple Board, and you may open it now.
Thank you. My birthstone in it. I'll leave it out so you can all look at it.
Finally, Miriam, this is not for you. This is for the congregation.
You mean I'm going to hang?
You're going to hang permanently in the in your main library down at the temple. Very beautiful portrait of mine.
That's not the one.
So in case any of us are ever tempted to forget you, we won't.
Thank you.
And now the floor is yours.
Thank you. I'm kind of overwhelmed with all this. Please forgive me. When I first came to the temple as a librarian, I came across a sermon of Rabbi Abba Hillel Silver of blessed memory, in which he said the following, and somehow became my motto, and I quote, "One, I believe in myself. Two, I believe in work. Three, I believe in service. First, as payment of a just debt, and secondly, as the only avenue by which men and women find or ever have found real soul contentment and happiness. I have found this here, and even when I was offered a position at the Cleveland Public Library, Rabbi Silver stopped me and said, your place is here, and so I stayed. I never realized that this many years had passed. I want to thank you, the congregation, for the privilege you have afforded me to serve you and the school, and for the opportunity to serve the community. For I have always felt that a library should not be bound by walls. I want to thank the board and officers for this most beautiful day and for the courtesies extended to me. Much more important is the interest they have shown in the development of their library and my own growth. Thanks to the rabbis and the staff at the temple for having put up with me for these many years. Last but not least, my thanks to Rabbi Silver for his care and thoughtfulness of both me and the library. It has always been a pleasure to work with him, and even if my Fridays were interrupted from the schedule I had planned, it was enjoyable to work with him. He always brought me another point of view from which I learned. Thank you all very much for the privilege of working and serving you through the Temple Library. Because of your interest, our library has been a model for other synagogues and an important library in the library world. Rabbi Silver, you promised that I may always use the library. Thank you.
Announcements before we conclude the meeting. Miriam will be available where else? In the library at the conclusion of the meeting. You may all greet her there. Everyone is invited for refreshments in the social hall, and I want to thank our annual meeting committee of Claire Shaw, Mary Tepper, Rita Perlman, and Helen Sadegor for the very fine work they have done in making this such a beautiful meeting. And now I will ask you all to rise for the benediction by Rabbi Stuart Geller.
The sayings of the fathers is full of much wisdom and many rules for life. Yet in all of this, there is only one rabbi who relates his own personal experiences. Tonight, we honor wisdom taught by personal example, 45 years in the life of Miriam Lykin. Life's examples are instructive. Here is the personal example of Rabbi Yossi, the son of Kizma. He said, "I was once walking along the road when a man greeted me, and I returned his greeting. He said to me, 'Rabbi, where do you come from?' And I replied, 'I come from a great city of Chachamim and Sofrim. I come from a city of scholars and librarians.' He said to me, 'If you will live here, I will pay you 1,000 golden dinars, precious stones, and pearls.' And I told him, 'Even if you paid me all the silver and gold and precious stones in the world, I can only live near the house of the Torah.' We pray for God's choicest blessings upon she who lived for the house of the book. May God reward Miriam Lykin with dignity and honor as she gave dignity and honor to the study of God's law. Whoever labors in the Torah is worthy of many things, and the whole world is indebted to that person. That person is called a beloved friend, lover of God, lover of mankind, and is clothed in meekness and reverence. We pray God to bless her this night as he shows his gracious loving kindness to all who gathered to honor her. And let us all say amen, mazal tov."
Mazal tov.